Hi there, and welcome to Swissinfo's program for February the 21st. I'm Veronica DeVore in Bern.
I think that initially you bring on a young girl who already knows how to sew. So she's already a seamstress. She works well with her needle. So she would initially be starting in the shop, being handed probably basic items to sew. For example, with gown making, long seams would be a great thing for an apprentice to start out with, sewing hems, and then eventually building up her knowledge and skill of the more complicated, say, shapes of cutting a gown that fits the body.
America in its early days. That's a reenactor at the Colonial Williamsburg Historic Site, explaining on their history podcast what it was like to be an apprentice at a sewing shop in the late 1700s. Being apprenticed to a tradesperson was the path to a career for most people at the time. Fast forward about 240 years. With increasing youth unemployment in the U.S., apprenticeships, on-the-job training, and skilled labor are big priorities for President Obama's administration. But they're more than just government buzzwords. I recently traveled to the U.S. where I met some of the people who are on the front lines of the American effort to bring back the apprenticeship tradition, 21st century style. It's a sunny Wednesday afternoon outside of Charlotte, North Carolina. Inside the U.S. headquarters of the Swiss company Dettwiler, lunch break is over and the factory floor is humming again.
I'm Walter Siegenthaler. I'm the executive vice president here at Dettwiler USA.
This is the guy who runs things at the company's U.S. branch. He's originally from a Swiss town just outside of Bern, but he's no stranger to America.
I'm actually with Dettwiler for 44 years, 39 of them here in the U.S. We are a manufacturer of actually a lot of different things. Considering that we are small here in the U.S., we have about 100 employees here. We have different areas. We produce a consumable for the printing industry called a doctor blade. But then we have a machine shop where we do chop shop work, which means just parts manufacturing. But we also build custom designed equipment. So we have all the disciplines here from engineering through fabrication, machining, assembly, and electronics to build the controls.
About 20 years ago, he started to notice a big problem.
In the mid-90s, we really had problems finding skilled labor, especially for our service department. At that time, we had a fairly large service department servicing all the equipment we sold, which was manufactured in our head office in Blaenbach, Switzerland. So we just could not find the people.
The answer? Build up an apprenticeship system similar to Switzerland's, together with other European countries that had headquarters nearby. But it wasn't that easy.
It was a matter of finding apprentices because they didn't just knock on our door. We had to go out, and we still do that almost 20 years later. We still go out to the schools, introducing the program, looking for the right students, which are smart enough because the school is rather demanding, but also like to work with their hands.
This man is responsible for finding students for the program.
My name is Bob Romanelli. I'm the apprenticeship coordinator here at Dettwiler.
You might think the promise of paid training, the chance to get an associate's degree at a local community college, and a guaranteed job would have them lining up at the door. But Bob tells me there's a lot of skepticism.
We see a lot of complacency amongst the students. Some of the students have been, through the years, mom and dad has told them that you're going to go to a four-year college. So this kind of goes against that grain to some degree because we go in there and we say that this is a four-year program, but it's only 2 years of college. So we see a lot of complacency in that area. We also see complacency with the students themselves not really knowing what they want to do. So it's kind of a two- or a three-pronged battle that we have to overcome, not only with the schools, but the parents and the students themselves.
This is a doctor blade. It's a steel blade. This particular one is 6,000.
I get a tour of the machine shop where most of the apprentices work. The first one who comes over to talk to me is Andrew, who's 20 years old.
I work upstairs in the electronics department. They found that was my knack, so they put me up there, and I wanted to be part of that.
At first he had his mindset on mechanical engineering, but then things changed.
Since we rotate around at every department, our mentors get to see how we are in that department. So while I was in the electronics department, they were like, wow, you know, he can do some stuff. And then I left. And then later on, a position was available upstairs. And instead of finding someone from the outside just to come go straight to work, they decided to insource it and find an apprentice that can fill their position. So they asked me if I wanted to join. They ended up changing my classes around to where I would take more electrical classes at school. And that's what happened.
DJ, a former apprentice, has become an expert on so-called CNC machines, high-tech computer-controlled cutting machines. That's not what he thought he'd end up doing, but now you can tell he's into his work.
One thing led to another. They gave me the opportunity to run over to the CNC equipment. I started out on a CNC lathe to begin with for a year. After that year was up, they said, let's stick you on a three-axis CNC mill. Done that, and now I still run machines, but I'm kind of the lead over the CNC area now. You know, don't want to be the bossy type, but, you know, I just kind of help keep the flow through the shop. If jobs come in, they'll come to me first, and then I figure out who's got time on the machines and where it can be done and where it can't be done, and, you know, just kind of do flow. So, you know, where I'm at now is, again, just an opportunity. They gave it to me, and I ran with it, and I'm still going with it, and I enjoy it every day. I mean, we got some really good guys in here that are really talented, and, you know, we have a lot of fun every day, and we still get our jobs done every day.
DJ is also into something else, fixing antique tractors.
Ever since I was young, my dad and I have always been into antiques, rebuilding old tractors, old engines, anything about 1900s up to the 1920s. And a lot of what we deal with and we see on a day-to-day basis that we buy or see on the side of the road, and we'll ask if we can buy it or pick it up or whatever, you can't go to your normal everyday store and buy parts for these things anymore. So from an early age, I realized that if I wanted to stay in this, I needed to learn how to make the parts myself. And that's why as soon as the apprenticeship program came up, I was sitting in a math class. My math teacher threw me a pamphlet, said, I think this is something for you. Started looking more and more into it, realized, hey, this is exactly what I need to do in order to keep up with my antiques, be able to make all the parts that I need. And, you know, that's where I see myself, you know, in years to come, still doing this, still buying antiques, restoring them, rebuilding them, selling them, keeping most of them. We do that. We don't really sell a whole lot, but, you know, that's why machining is really, it has really helped us out a lot. We're making parts now for a tractor that my dad and I picked up. It's a 1921. It's hard to find parts for that, but I've made several things in here after hours. They let you stay. Make the parts for it, take it home, and it works. It puts a big smile on everybody's face.
Every day, Andrew, Christopher, DJ, and everyone else on the Detmuller factory floor work under a big Swiss flag and a giant poster of the Matterhorn. But that was the extent of their contact to Switzerland until last year, when three apprentices from the Swiss headquarters went to the U.S. for 4 months to work alongside their American counterparts. I caught up with Marcus and Celine, two of the Swiss exchange apprentices, in Switzerland after they'd gotten back from the U.S. Neither of them had ever been there before.
Yeah, the U.S. is much bigger, the airport and the highway.
The persons are friendly, and they have a lot of area just with nature, and I like that.
Overall, they found a lot of common ground with their American peers. But there were a few key differences, especially when it came to measuring things.
The biggest difference is the system we have in the Switzerland, metric system, and in the US the inch or zoll system.
I think they work more together there. They work as a big team, and you feel that when you work there. But from the work itself, it's almost the same like here.
What were their favorite experiences? Celine liked all of it. But Marcus remembered one day in particular.
Oh, my favorite is the company picnic. A really nice place. A little lake and a fire and beach volley field. It's really nice. And sports together with other apprentices.
After my day at Detmuller USA, I head up the East Coast to Newport News, Virginia. That's where most of the nuclear-powered aircraft carriers for the U.S. military are built, by a company called Newport News Shipbuilding. These apprentices are ringing a ship's bell during graduation ceremonies from the Apprentice School, as it's known. Totally funded by Newport News Shipbuilding, It trains the next generation of workers for the shipyards. Right now, 24,000 people work for the company, mostly in trades like welding, pipe fitting, and engineering. Like a Detwiler, Newport News apprentices learn on the job while going to school, get paid for their work, and are guaranteed a job when they graduate. But that's about where the similarities end, because the apprentice school has the feel of a university or elite military academy. It's a unique model in the U.S., and also pretty different from the Swiss system, where students start apprenticeships at 15 or 16 years old. Here, the average student age is 25, and a lot of apprentices have some college experience. Because the ships being built here are powered by nuclear reactors, security is tight, and I'm not allowed to bring my microphone into my tour of the school building. There's a trophy case at the entrance with student awards dating all the way back to 1919, when the apprentice school was founded in a barn. There's a brand new gymnasium, classrooms, and computer labs, and a top-floor view of the student's other classroom, the gigantic, partially built ships parked at the docks.
I wanted to be able to do something more than waitressing and working at a hardware store, which, although I did love it, two jobs just wasn't paying enough to take care of my family of two children. I'm a single mom.
This is Elise, a 29-year-old apprentice pipe fitter. Again, because of security restrictions, I'm interviewing her out on the street in front of the school. Her path to the apprentice school was roundabout, going by way of an area university where she was studying theater. But then things changed.
I really feel like my maturity level changed. When I was straight out of high school, I had dreams and I had aspirations, but I didn't really have any experience knowing how the real world works and how real jobs work. And when I got abruptly introduced into that by starting a family and moving out on my own, I realized that I needed so much more, really, and I started looking at careers that I might be interested in. I probably wouldn't have imagined engineering as my career choice at first, but through finding my way into pipe fitting, I was given a chance to enter into engineering, and I realized that that's where my passion really lies.
Another apprentice braved the cold to come talk to me on the sidewalk.
One of the best memories that I have working is when the ship was actually in dry dock, you were able to crawl underneath it and crawl through the tanks, and once you do that and you end up underneath of this aircraft carrier, you realize just how small you are. And when you walk to the back of it and you stare at the enormous size of all the systems, the propellers, the ship itself, you realize just how many people have to come together and work together to make this happen.
That's 23-year-old Michael Fay, who's on his way to becoming an engineer. But it wasn't easy convincing his family it was the right choice. They were set on him going to a 4-year university.
It was not easy. It's a lot of stereotypes to break, a lot of misinformation that was given, and really being in the apprenticeship opened my eyes to a whole different world that really isn't talked about, and that's kind of sad that not a lot of people know all the opportunities that are available with an apprenticeship.
And if you could go back and tell your 18-year-old self, give yourself a piece of advice relevant to your career path, what would you tell yourself?
Take more math classes. No, look into other options other than just either going straight into the workforce or a 4-year university, because apprenticeships really do offer that nice balance in the middle and gives you something you can carry with you your whole life.
And where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Management, hopefully. No, stable and can never stop, growing and learning and take every opportunity that I can get.
That's all we have time for this week. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica DeVorn Byrne. You can read about and watch apprentices at work at both Detwiler USA and the Apprentice School through more coverage on our website, swissinfo.ch.